This is Sunday morning, 4/25/21. We're just going to go ahead with learning to flow in the supernatural. The title of this is called Dominion Theology. We'll look at a scripture passage here. This is John 17. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. It doesn't have anything to do with what I'm teaching here today, but Jesus learned obedience through the things which he suffered. When your flesh suffers, it comes into line with God's will, so you can obey. You can do his will. Even Jesus had to suffer. If you think he didn't suffer, you ought to go look in the garden. He sweat great drops of blood. He was under such duress. He said the angels came and ministered to him. I'm sure that we've had angels around us ministering to us and we didn't even realize it at times. Okay, Jesus said this in John 17:14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. He didn't pray that God would take us out of the world, but he'd deliver us from the evil. Okay. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I think that's mistranslated there. He's not talking about this dirt. Talking about this system. Sanctify through them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. All right. In the Strong's, the word world means orderly arrangement. If you think Satan's kingdom is not orderly and arranged, just look around you. They are horrible and they're evil, but they just keep on hitting it, hitting it, hitting it, hitting it. And they don't care if it takes hundreds of years. They just keep on and keep on and keep on. That's why we see our world in the mess it is today. We are of the earth that God put into place, though. We are of this earth. Part of us anyway. Adam. All right, I can see where the church has developed its escape mentality. Our home is in heaven. You hear that? I hear it all the time. I'm thinking, no, it never says heaven is our home. It means, it also says that if we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. To me, heaven's more like a resort you go to until Jesus comes back to the earth and the earth is restored to its natural way. Or it's more, I put here, I believe it's more of a hotel, if you will, that we stay at when we die until the Lord restores all things. Then heaven will join up with earth. New Jerusalem's going to come down out of heaven, whether that's literal, it may be both. Represents the church, but it's also a physical thing. We see this in Matthew 6. If we're not even from here, why would we want God's kingdom to operate here? The earth he has given to man. Matthew 6. He made it for man to have dominion over. All right, Matthew 6, 9. This prayer itself shows you that. After this manner, therefore pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So what is Jesus actually saying here? We walk in another domain, even in earth. We're under the commonwealth of heaven. God doesn't see that it was separated. Until Adam fell, it was not, because he came down in the cool of the day or evening and walked with man in the garden. He communed with him. It was a fellowship. I mentioned, I think, Wednesday evening that I was listening to the Gene Decode number 39, and he was talking about right now there are two timelines running side by side. But I don't think it's just because Gene says that and he has that intel, which I do believe. I respect him as a, I believe he's a truth bringer. I believe he has a lot of insight. But I think it's been that way all along. You definitely, if you go look at the children of Israel, Caleb and Joshua went in with the children, but everybody else died out. Were they on different timelines? They had a long life. They had 40 years added to their life, if you will, to go in and take the land, and the others died out. See, the kingdom of God, there's longevity. There's wealth. There's everything you ever want or desire. I mean, it said that Joshua took the whole land. They all had their land. They all were rewarded by God, and they had peace from their enemies. I mean, they had a good life, and they had a life of longevity, and they didn't die sick. They just, the Lord said, okay, you've done what I called you to do. You can come home now. Okay, and he instructed them. Joshua instructed them. Then he left. See, this is the timeline that we can choose ourselves to be on. They're always running side by side. The two masters are always doing that. It's not anything new. You choose your own timeline. You are not blocked in because of what your kids do or don't do or your parents do or didn't do. You have a choice. Joshua said, choose you this day who you will serve. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And he reaped the benefits of it. I mean, this man caused the sun to stand still, not the earth to quit rotating. Because the earth isn't rotating. It's stationary and at rest, the word says. It's amazing to me how people miss that. Yeah. Yeah. All right, there's two timelines operating side by side. You can go Satan's way or you can go God's way. It's entirely up to you. All right, let's look at Revelation 11. This is, the trumpets to me sound an alarm. It could be a warning. Or it could be signaling a time. I believe this seventh trumpet, the last trumpet, is signaling a time. It says here, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Isn't that what we're here to do to enforce this? We are enforcing the kingdom of God. That was the last trumpet, the last proclamation of the time. The kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our God, and he shall reign forever. This is what this kingdom age is all about. It's not maybe someday when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. They're nice little songs that make you feel good, but there's not an ounce of truth in it, I don't think. It's just, anyway, we won't go there. All right, this proclamation was made after the church stood up. If you'll look in this chapter here, this is when the two candlesticks, were dead in the street, and after 3.5 days they rose up. After the church begins to realize who they are and they stand up. I had somebody ask me a while back about what did I have to say that all the prophets got it wrong. And I had a chance to have lunch with her this week, and I said, you know, I tried to answer your question, but I think I need to reiterate a little bit on that about that. I said, they didn't miss it. And she said, well, how can you say that? Well, mainly because all you're doing is looking with your eyes and what crap you watch on television. Sorry. I didn't say that. I wanted to say that. I don't say a lot of things I want to say. But the thing was, I said, it doesn't matter if Donald John Trump is ever president again or ever steps up in that capacity. I said, the Lord, I have to go with what the Lord told me. He's restoring, and he is doing exactly what we cried out for him to do. I said, it grieves me that the prophets don't have enough confidence, those that backtrack, in the words of God that they have, that they felt like they had to backtrack and answer to these people. Because, you know, Danny brought up a good point. You know, it was 400 years before Jesus came, I guess after the last prophecy that was brought forth. I mean, it was all different ones prophesied as coming, and they died. And people probably thought, see, he was a false prophet. Well, no, he wasn't. Just because it took a long time does not mean that it isn't going to happen. Because God doesn't do anything lest he reveals it to his servants, the prophets. That's God's way. That's how he's chosen to let people know, through the prophets. And that grieves me. But I told this lady, I said, God is doing exactly what he said he was going to do. I said, take a look around you. People are no longer sitting on their suitcase, and I did say this, waiting for the rapture to happen. They're standing up saying, I'm going to run for my school board. Hey, I'm going to run for senator. There's people coming out of retirement saying, I can't sit there and leave this to my grandkids. I'm going to do this. Instead of this, well, I just want to retire on my golf course and play golf and get on my boat and fish, and I'm just going to do that for the rest till I die. People are sacrificing that to take this nation back. How are they doing it? They're doing their part, whatever God's part he gave to them to do, to bring back our nation, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. What is that? That's dominion. That nasty word that when you say it to most charismatic Christians, they go, ooh, a snake. That's demonic. No, it isn't. It's biblical. Started in the garden. All right. Thus we see the split. We for a long time have been on Satan's timeline, but it has been ripped out of his hands. How? The church started standing up and getting in line with his kingdom. Come, his will be done in earth as in heaven. The plan is working perfectly. The plan wasn't for Donald John Trump to be the savior of the world. The plan was for the people to get so fed up with what the devil was doing to them through these evil people that they started standing up and saying, no more. You know what? There's so few of them compared to us. In essence, they're scared to death of us. They're doing everything they can to keep Arizona from coming out. Why? They're scared. The sheer number of us is intimidating. They're like 1%. All right. God told us in Genesis what he wanted us to do. Let's go to Genesis 1. God said, let us make man in our image, verse 26. after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. At present, the game wardens under the crown, they are the ones that have been ruling the earth and a fee for everything that you try to do. Whether it be your guns or your fishing license or whatever, every bit of it is unconstitutional. As a sovereign in your own right, you have the right to do whatever you want to do and not have to pay a fee to do it under the Constitution. That is your sovereign right. In fact, the word citizen actually was come from the Roman Empire. You're not a citizen. Your own sovereign living soul before God. See, they've tripped us up in our language. That's why Russell J. Gould, when you listen to him talk, you feel like your head's going to explode because you don't understand much of what he's saying, but he's talking the proper language of how our Constitution was written and how you address these evil people where they can't touch you. It's going to take us a long time to get it. But we'll get it. And it'll be normal. No longer will Satan's rule and reign be normal to us, and we just put up with whatever the government wants to dish out to us. No more. Like it or not, don't really care. This is dominion theology, and it is from our Father God. The rapture escape theory is from the devil. It totally took our attention off of taking dominion. Well, if he ain't gonna be, we're not even gonna be here. Why should we care? We are to change the landscape to fit God's narrative. How do we do this? God showed us how in Genesis 1 when he saw the earth. It was a mess. Satan had been there before and ruined it. Destroyed what God made in verse 1 when he spoke life back into the earth. It was destroyed. However it happened, I don't know. Dinosaurs were there? I don't know. But I know this, he began to speak what he wanted and set it all back in order. And then he put Adam in the garden and he said, okay, he prayed to the animals before him and said, now I want to see what you will call them. I want you to act like me. You're made in my likeness. You will take dominion the same way I took dominion. God's not on the throne having a nervous breakdown today over what's going on the earth. He is looking to see what you're going to call it. You're either going to have a pity party and side in with it, or you're going to say, no way. I take authority over you in Jesus' name. Get out of here. No longer is this yours. And if you don't comply, then it's bye-bye. You either come under the authority of the kingdom of heaven or you leave. You can't stay here. I don't care who you are. I don't care how many generations it's been in your family. You've given a chance to come into the kingdom, rule in righteousness, and if you don't, goodbye. Don't feel sorry for them, but give them an opportunity. All right. Jesus told us to do this about situations. This is Mark 11. I've been in the fire this week. I feel pretty liberated. Mark 11. Let's look at 11 first. Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple, and when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. In verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. But verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. All right. That's how Jesus did it. According to which master you choose, to some degree, there has always been two timelines running side by side. Matthew chapter 6, which I probably read 100 times if I have one time, about the two masters, the one that's into care and toiling and spinning and taking a thought for everything, are on the other side where you're trusting God and not taking a thought about anything. There's your two masters. Either you're all wrapped up in this whirlwind of a world we're in and the mess it is been that we have allowed to go on, or either you're looking at the mountains and you're speaking to the mountains and you're walking in the kingdom of God. There's not many that are walking in the kingdom of God, but there are some. I believe that the sons of God are fixing to be manifested all across this earth. The Lord's going to call them. All right, you're up. You've been in training. You've been in the fire all these many years. Time for you to rise up. There's a new sheriff in town. Somebody that has the badge and the gun and they know how to use it, not abuse it. Okay, how did Jesus pay? Okay, you will either work by the sweat of your brow as a slave or you will live by divine supply. How did Jesus pay his and Peter's taxes? Let's look at that. Matthew 17. Verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? He said, Yes. When he was come to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Peter said unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free. You betcha. That's what it's supposed to be. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for meat and thee. So regardless of what the deep state's doing, the crown's doing, whatever they may levy against us, we can still walk in the kingdom. Jesus didn't fight with the leaders. He said, lest we offend us, go ahead. The Lord's provided the money. There's a fish down there, the first one. Take it and pay your taxes. All right, how did Jesus feed a hungry multitude? Matthew 14. This is the kingdom of God in operation here. He wasn't limited to his earthly possessions and what he had on hand. Matthew 14:13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. When the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that we may go into the villages and buy themselves. They may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. See, they're looking at their natural circumstances. Well, I can't do anything. I ain't got no money. Ever heard that? I have. And he said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looked up to heaven. He blessed and brake and gave to the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. They did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full, and they had eaten about 5,000 men besides women and children. So the kingdom operates from divine supply. All right, how did Jesus solve a financial crisis for Peter and his associates? Luke chapter 5. Verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. There ain't no lack, but it's just coming from a different source. It's coming out of the faith realm. What timeline are you on? I think we can take a look and see there is room for improvement wherever you are. It doesn't mean we can't have any money, but it is learning regardless to get God's mind on how we are to take care of each issue that arrives. Dominion is taking the land, but God is the one that shows us how He wants us to do it. Dominion and divine go hand in hand.